Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today for Women Who Lead. And our topic today is From Empty to Overflow. And I know so many of us as professional women, yeah, we're feeling that overflow. And we have an expert on the show today. I'm delighted to say that our leading lady today is Jenny Dufresne, and she is the Chief Executive Officer of Dufresne Solutions Group. But more than that, Jenny is also the author of From Empty to Overflow. So Jenny, thank you for being our leading lady, and say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be on today. Thank you, Michelle, and Connected Women of Influence for the opportunity to share how to go from empty to overflow.
Girl, I'm just going to start with this. I'm on overflow, I'm on overwhelm, and I am definitely, you know, I don't know how to get rid of it. I think every professional woman deals with this. And you've got an incredible story of just how you came to this point, right, to write the book. I mean, can we start
Absolutely.
With that? Because I really would love for our listeners to hear your story of how this all came about.
Absolutely. So couple of highlights. The first is that I am a former Marine. I served for 10 years in the United States Marine Corps. And so as a Marine, there was a certain way that we were trained to lead. And part of that leadership was really about sacrifice. And as I went up in the ranks, it was more and more about making sure that I took care of my Marines, you know, training and leading the way and leading by example. And so those were ways of being that I took with me as I entered in the civilian world. And I've done a few things, but where this book came from was, it's almost been about 15, 16 years ago now, I ended up founding the first all-male public charter elementary school in Washington, D.C., where I used to reside. And, you know, for all of the women who are on the line or who are listening, and either you're leading a division or department, you may be building a business, you may be running, you know, a massive organization as a CEO or as a COO. And, you know, you spend all this time building and strategizing and doing all that. So in founding an organization from nothing, so from the concept, which is just the concept, into what ultimately became a $5 million organization, annual revenue organization.
Wow.
You know, I kind of put that bad boy on my back and worked to build it. And like founding anything, it had lots of exhilarating moments and lots of absolutely bone crushing moments. so I would say, yeah. And I would say that one of the things that I learned in the process was there are sort of these things, what I began to see in leadership, what I ended up calling five glorifications that I write about in the book. The first is sacrifice. And so if I take the idea of what I learned in the Marine Corps as a leader of Marines, you know, there's this whole idea that we should sacrifice and keep sacrificing. Well, what we do is we sacrifice a lot of things that we probably shouldn't, like we sacrifice sleep, we sacrifice healthy eating, we sacrifice mm-hmm. time with our families, like we sacrifice a lot, all in service to this idea of whatever we're building or a belief that that's how we need to lead. Another glorification that I saw was excessive, and that was excessive hours. Like we have gotten into a habit of, and I still have to be very mindful of it, of spending hours and hours and hours at work. Right. And now with technology, work comes home. Work is at the spa. Work is everywhere because we have cell phones and laptops. So work doesn't stay in the office anymore. The other thing that I did to myself a lot, and this is how I led by example, unfortunately for me, as I look back on it, is that I was often very sick. I would get really bad colds, or, you know, just it would turn into all kinds of stuff. But I would go to work sick. And again, the kinds of models of leadership that I'd seen, that was always really considered a good thing. Like, you know, you're like toughing it out. And again, that's my Marine Corps part of my leadership. But it's also a way of leading that I think I don't think it really fits who we are today anymore. Exhaustion was another glorification. You know, the longer, the more we can do, you know, nonstop working and very little sleep, people begin to really champion that. And as leaders and as a leader, I certainly championed it. I was one who would wake up at 1 or 2 in the morning, fire off a bunch of emails.
Yep.
And, you know, the problem was is that I didn't realize the impact, or the challenge was I didn't realize the impact that was having on my team and my partner at the time. I just didn't realize what the impacts were. And then the final thing was just being accessible. And I think, you know, like, yeah, call me, email me anytime. Yeah, text me anytime. Again, that was the way that I never was able to kind of just decompress. And so all of those 5 glorifications led me to have tremendous health impacts. I think ultimately I was really, really, really hard on my team members, because there became a point where I started going, and Michelle, you know, you might see leaders that do this, we start moving faster and faster and faster and get frustrated because people can't keep up with us. But some of it is that we're running on strictly a general adrenaline, or in my case, I was subsisting on coffee and adrenaline. So, you know, so
well, you
like,
might as well be you might as well be talking to the poster child on all of it. I'm like, going, oh my God, there's a checklist. Bad. Oh my God, there's a checklist. And I want to back up because you have so much great information.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but this is what drives me crazy, you know, Jenny. Because honestly, it's like every day I work and interact with women who say I'm overworked, I'm exhausted,
yes.
You know, I'm this, and that is our society. I mean, that really is our society, good
yes.
or bad, it is our society. And I think so many women will go, you know, I'm juggling all this. It's like, I'm not sure, because you're the expert on this, but my opinion is, of so many times I've seen the subjects where they go work-life balance, I'm like, there is none. You know, it's all a matter
right.
of choices and priorities. So to me, you know, the thing that I'm dying to know with you is, you build a $5 million organization. That is huge for a woman-owned business. And especially, I got to say, and I got to back up, because I was dying to chime in, when you said you were a Marine, I'm like, okay, thank you for your service, but you taught me this. It's like, hoorah, right? Am I getting it right finally? Because I really want to
yes.
get that right.
All yes,
right.
I love it.
So now
it.
That I can
it,
move
Michelle.
On from that.
Your honorary.
I'm just
sitting
we're
here going,
honorary.
Yep.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because I really, I'm telling you, man, I've learned a lot from you by knowing you. And I want our listeners to know that, I mean, you worked so hard to get where you did. I mean, what would you have changed if you had to look back in building? And again,
oh
very few women can get to a $5 million organization. That is huge. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, quite the pedigree. And I'm sitting here going, man, what would you do differently?
Oh, my gosh. So a couple things right off the bat. If my today self could talk to myself back then, I would have definitely said that I needed to be ruthless about my personal time and actually make it happen. Like, you know, you'd have to schedule it, right? Because anytime we're doing anything, if something's not on our schedule, if it's not on our schedule and it's blocked out, like, you know, it's life itself, then we won't do it. So one thing is, I would have blocked in my schedule my rejuvenation time, my feed my soul, feed my mind time, which when I started, like the first probably 6, 7, 8 months, I was pretty good. And then as more and more stressors happen, I did less and less. So I was, you know, physically active, and, you know, I would go to plays. Well, by the time I got midway into this, none of it was happening. So that's the first thing, is that I would have ruthlessly and relentlessly booked time for myself, for my self-care, like as a non-negotiable. And it honestly was a non-negotiable. I just had bought into this idea that, you know, leadership is lonely, leadership is about sacrifice, this is what we have to do to build institutions, build organizations. And in fact, I believe that I probably would have been more productive had I invested time in myself. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I would have find some mentors. I tried, and this is the challenge. I tried to engage other women, but I was engaging other women that were doing the exact same thing. So I had no, we weren't helpful to each other, right? And so
well,
I would have engaged.
That's so sad.
Right? I mean,
really?
No, 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 no. What I mean is we weren't helpful to each other in that we were all on the same treadmill. So what I needed to have done is, like, diversify my mentor pool. So, like, find someone, let's say, who was retired, a woman executive who was retired, and be able to talk to her so I could understand the lessons that she learned around the hits that she took. What I did was I looked at my own peers, and we were all in the building stage, so we just weren't helpful as guides to do things differently, i.e. our self-care.
Right,
I would have definitely had a coach or coaches, actually. I frankly didn't even know that existed, and I know that probably sounds really wild, but in Washington, D.C., that wasn't part of the conversation that went on at that time. Here in California, it's a very robust conversation about coaches and all that, so I would have had coaches to be able to help me make sure that I'm actively doing some of these things. The other thing, I think those are good.
You know, just real quick, jumping in there, mm-hmm. because I think it's interesting you brought up. And first of all, thank you for being so, you know, kind of like reflection oriented on that, because I think all of us have things we would do differently if we had to. I've told you all the time, I feel like every time I talk to you, you have such a sense of calmness about you, but yet purpose and passion, you know, and I know there's a side where you can go to, like me, which is like you've had 10 cups of coffee, right? And I'm trying to find balance and a little bit more self-care if I can find it. But one of the things I love that you said was you said coaches in the plural sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you share, because to me, I like the idea that you're going to get help and assistance and mentoring from different people. And I like the idea that you would not have one end-all be-all coach. I mean, what would be, you know, your recommendation for some of our listeners to hear what your thoughts are? Because I really like that. That's one of the first times I've ever heard that. Most people say get a coach. You said coaches.
No, you have to have multiple coaches. I believe that it's helpful to have multiple coaches, because we have, as women leaders, we have multiple aspects of our lives that we're navigating, right? So I believe first and foremost that we should have someone that is in some way a spiritual or spiritually based coach, whatever that means for folks who are listening, but someone who can help us refresh and reground in that aspect of our lives. That could be someone who's maybe a meditation coach, and again, it can look, you know, the other thing is we can make up whatever the heck we want. If I needed someone to work with me to keep myself spiritually grounded or to keep me in those conversations, I would have someone like that. I would definitely have, again, the busier you are, the more overextended you are, you need a coach around your physical health and well-being, and that could be a combination of the physical and nutrition, but you know, we have to continue to fuel our soul, our spirit, fuel our bodies by the activity, and fuel through food. A business coach, if we're building businesses, and again, where we are in our business, I think wherever we are in our business, if we're in the beginning stages, you know, the founding startup stage, and we should have someone who's walked that path and can help us navigate. Because the thing that it does, the thing that the coaches that work with me, or that I work with, it shortens often the amount of time it takes us to move from one level, one plateau, one phase to another, right?
Right.
When I built this organization, I was pretty much on my own you know, having to do all the thinking and all that. And I swear, Michelle, like I probably, you know, invested in dog years, like 35 more dog years in trying to build stuff where if I would have been tapped into coaches, I would have accelerated and probably not been as destructive to myself. I mean, I say destructive, which was, you know, my physical health, my spiritual health, my relational health, my friend health, all of it went by the wayside.
Yeah.
So business.
But do you think all those things can be in balance, though? I guess that's my question. It's not about balance. Okay, so
it's
you're
not
saying
about
just
balance.
The choices?
It's harmony.
The choices are, okay.
There's absolutely choices.
I like that word.
There's absolute choices. But it's more in harmony, right? Like balance, like I always think about this. I want to do a workshop or a training on this. Like if you think about a scale, right? Put a scale at the front of the room, like the old school, right? And you drop, you know, your personal life on one side. Well, then, you know, it lifts heavily to the personal side. Well, then you're like, oh, gosh, I can't do that. I have a business to run, or I'm leading this division, so I got to put time in that. So you put that on the other side. And then, so you're always – and I think for women, we always just get to feel bad about the fact that we can't keep it balanced. Well, it's not supposed to be balanced, but I do think it has to be in harmony. And that means there's an ebb and flow, right? But there has to be a level of intentionality around what comes first. And I think I've said this to you, Michelle, in the past, is that I am the engine for everything around me to run. If I'm in a relationship or married, I am the engine for that spouse or partner. If I have children, I am the engine for their development. If I have my business, I'm the engine for that. If I have a team, I'm the engine for the business. And if I have parents that I'm caring for, I'm the engine for that. So I have to
be really
full
love
first.
Yeah, and I really love your word harmony on that, because that really is it. I mean, if you make your choices, like for me, I mean, I love, you know, you love what you do and you're very passionate, you know, if you're very passionate about it. But at the same time, there are times when I feel like I'm on overwhelm and I'm run down, right? And so that harmony, are you saying then as part of what you recommend is then you do that kind of corrective acknowledgement to say you're out of harmony, so you need to, like, what would be some steps you would do if you feel like you're on the, you know, the overflow and you're feeling empty, which is what your whole book is about. What are some strategies that you learned or that you point out in your book? Because I've read your book and it's awesome. So know that. And
Thank
it's a
you.
Quick read,
so,
by the way.
Let
everybody know where they can get it in a minute.
Absolutely. So actually, I did
Because they don't have any time, right? Because they don't have any time.
Right.
They don't have any time to read
right,
it. So you got to make it quick.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, you can, I mean, read this book probably in an hour or 2 hours at tops. Like it's a quick read. So the question is how to pull in back into harmony. So one of the things I actually taught this recently, which was around a productivity management course that I created. And the first thing is, when you talk about being overwhelmed, one of the reasons that I found that I'm overwhelmed, and when I talk to other women leaders, part of the reason we're overwhelmed is we keep everything in our head. And we're literally like skating through all these things in our head. And so one way for feeling so completely overwhelmed is to literally do a brain dump. And this is what I was teaching, like, do a brain dump. Get everything out of your head in all the domains. So I came up with at least 12 domains that, you know, so you have all your family, your medical, your physical, you have all the, you know, children, spouse, not spouse, whatever. You have all these, you have at least 12 domains. And if you brain dump in each of those domains, you realize, first of all, how much stuff is in your head. That's the first thing. Like all that's just out there spinning around, which means that we stay overwhelmed because we're like literally flitting from thing to thing that's in our head. So the first thing is do a brain dump. The second thing is actually to prioritize it by, and I'm just going to use this, the way I did it actually, and the way I trained it is, I have one quadrant. And so looking at all of this brain dump, one most important quadrant, what makes me happy or what makes me money? And so, and then there's three other quadrants. But if you went through that brain dump and just, you know, put a smiley face by what makes you happy or what makes you money, you will find then those are the those are really the critical places to focus all of your time and energy. And with that, then you can start to see, okay, this is way more manageable than I thought. And then there's the other three quadrants are there as well. But that's just like for really quick for the show, a really quick way to start to identify what do I really need to be paying attention to. Because, Michelle, we spend so much time paying attention to stuff that's not relevant, it's not important.
Yeah.
Right, like email.
Email's
a time suck.
Yeah, but go back to something, because I think it's too with women,
yeah.
They're juggling so much, but can you go back to the brain dump part and, you know, I think maybe a little further clarification, like what constitutes a brain dump? Just writing everything down? Is it putting it in an organization system or something? Because I know, you know, like for me, I live in Evernote. It is the best filing cabinet of ideas and projects and everything known to man, at least initially. But what do you recommend as a way to do a brain dump? Or can you share? Is that what's in the book? Or can you give some insight to that?
I can give some insight because this is something that I created as I've been thinking about how to really teach and train, like what's, you know, I'm a big practical, I like practical solutions. I like a right now practical solution that doesn't require me
too.
To get a PhD. I don't need to get a PhD in order to do it. So honestly, the training, it's a productivity management training that I created. It literally was like, here's 12 pieces of paper in each of these domains. Sit down and just start to dump out whatever's in your head. Now, the thing with technology, like we can use technology. Everyone has a different orientation towards technology. What I actually am going back to is pen and paper. Because it's almost meditative, right?
Mm.
Like, and it, you know, you have to know yourself in all of this. But to sit and write things down, one, it allows your brain to start to slow down, allows you to slow down, and you start to, I don't know, it's almost like a meditative practice just to sit and write with, you know, pen on paper. But for people who are really busy and, you know, you're going to brain dump on your Evernote or brain dump in a Word document or whatever, The point is to get the stuff out of your head and then go back and then be able to go back through and then identify what makes me happy or what earns money, what generates money or revenue, and what makes me happy. Because, and then like the other side, you know, there's like, so that's the highest quadrant. The next one is things that need to be done so that money can flow. The bottom left is the third bucket is things that keep the trains running on time, right? And that could be, well, and some of that is stuff that you can delegate to other people. And then the other is just like, I don't need to do it. Like now that I look at my list, like I can delegate this, I can get rid of it, or I can just, you know, kick it to 2 months from now. It doesn't need to be in my head right now. So,
you know,
that's a way to raise.
This is awesome stuff. And I'm curious, you know, when you had your business, what was the kind of the tipping point for you? One, did you sell your business? And then the other question is what prompt? No. Okay. So it's still ongoing. You're still involved in it.
No. It's an organ. No. So it was a school. It was a school that I built.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah. No. Huh. Yeah.
And what made you decide to write the book? I mean, what was kind of like that aha moment that said, hey, I need to put this pen to paper and really come out with this publication? Because I think it is very telling because so many women are absolutely, you know, overwhelmed. I mean, overwhelmed is the wrong word, but I just feel like so many of us, you know, we're busy, 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 and we're in this state of busyness. And yet what is so amazing about what you're saying, and I think I've gleaned a bit off of you as I've gotten to know you a little bit, is just to be more purposeful about what we set boundaries to, right? Like for me,
absolutely.
The weekends are really ideally for me to spend time with my husband. You know, I don't get that much time during the week. So I really lock down any sort of things that aren't focused with him on the weekends. And I try not to do that work, which is hard, you know, because I work on Sundays as well, but I kind of like let myself take a break on business for a weekend. And I'm curious for you, what was that kind of like aha moment that you said, I need to produce a book and I need to publish this book?
Yeah, so first of all, like my what I built almost killed me, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the story
so
in the book
sad.
Of. Yeah, well, but listen, but I'm not alone, and that's part of why the book exists. is because for me, too many of us, if the faster I see people and the faster I see women leaders running, and I know we say, you know, unfortunately we say yes to everything, right? In part because we've been socialized to say yes, and we've been socialized to do it all, we've been socialized to be multitaskers, and all those are wonderful and amazing skills if we're first taking care of ourselves. And that's the biggest reason the book exists for me as a service for women and women leaders is that the women are going to be called on more and more and more in my opinion to right size what's happening globally. Right? We have tremendous challenges that are going on. We have tremendous stuff that's happening. And I do believe that the way that women lead is going to be needed more and more and more to stabilize our planet. And I that's everything from, you know,
I love
how,
that.
Just everything. it's everywhere and we're going to be called on. And so we can't be, what my mission is to, when women are called forth into these tremendous leadership, we're going to have more women who are going to be leaders of countries because we have to. We can't continue to do the destructive things that we do to the planet, to people, to villages, to communities, to cities, to towns, to health. We can't. And women have a particular sensitivity to that, I believe, because we have given birth to children or we're caring for children. And so I think our future orientation is different than men. And that's not to bash men. It's just, and so for me, I want women to be able to be, have filled up their cup every single day. It's a 7 day a week thing. It's not episodic. It's 7 days a week. We fill our cups so that we can really guide and lead the planet and all of its people in the manner that we need to have a sustainable place to live and to have sustainable communities, to have sustainable companies, to have teams that are vibrant, to have, you know, people that love coming to work rather than calling out sick all the time. Like, it's all interconnected for me. So that's why
right.
this book exists.
I love
that's
that.
Why I do the work that I do.
You definitely have found your why, girl, I'm telling you. And, you know,
right?
We got a couple more minutes, but you know it's awesome. It's like for our listeners, if they want to reach you, Jenny, how would you like people to raise their hand or communicate with you? And by the way, we'll have it on the, you know, the show page here for all of our listeners post-show, but how do you want people to get in touch with you if they've got questions or they want to, you know, find out more about you or purchase your book, right? We'll have a link to your book for sale. So,
okay, awesome. So the book, the website to get to the book is fromemptytooverflow.com. So that's www.fromemptytooverflow.com. That will also going to that website will also actually get connected to me and other things that I'm doing. I'm also on LinkedIn. And Michelle,
awesome.
If you can have my name out there. Like, I'm also definitely on LinkedIn. I'm happy to link. I'm also on Facebook and happy to link there as well. Or friend, I guess that's what it is.
I know, we got to keep straight of them on. And then
friend me
don't
on
forget
Facebook.
To tweet about it as well.
Yeah. right, yeah, tweet. I'm not as excited about tweeting. I love Facebook, though, because it's just a cool place and you can see all the wonderful things people are doing. So those are the two best places to get me. LinkedIn,
awesome.
Facebook.
We will do that. Okay.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. And then the book from
MPOverflow.com. Yeah, we'll have a link on there as well. You know, a couple things. We've only got a couple of minutes left, and I'm curious to know for you, it's like the future for you. It's like, are you, you know, I don't know, what has the book done, you know, not for you? I know you always say, look, I'm here to serve, and I love that that's a phrase you are very near and dear about. But, like, what are you looking for more speaking engagements? Is that what the book has allowed you to do? Or what, you know, what do you feel has been the biggest thing about the book that's made an impact to you and what your purpose and passion and why is?
So definitely speaking engagements. I spoke at a university 2 days ago here locally, which was really exciting, and have some more opportunities with them. So speaking is definitely a big one. The other thing that I'm really stepping into, and this is with knees knocking and teeth chattering, I might say, is that I want to start a revolution of a million women, a million women leaders who each touch 1,000 women. So a million women leaders who touch 1,000 women or 1,000 people, really, and that we begin to really do what I said earlier, that we begin to shift the dynamic on the planet. That looks like stuff around leadership development, leadership work, leadership training, which is something I'm super passionate about. It also looks like places of respite and rejuvenation and, you know, retreats, and that's coming. But just places where women leaders can come together and we can take off our superwoman capes and stand with each other and sit with each other and be able to rejuvenate, refresh, and go back out into the world and do the great work that we're all called to do. So that's a big vision piece that's formulating. But that's kind of why
pretty
the book
awesome.
Exists. And and the work that I'm passionate about doing.
Like I said, I want to go rejuvenate. So when you do that, you know we want to be a part of that with CWI. And I'm hoping that's going to come around because we're pretty excited about women's advancement as well and love having you in our association. So I always ask this to my guests, and I think you're going to have a magical answer. But, you know, to our listeners, it's like leave us with something empowering or inspirational or go get it done or whatever. But, you know, what are one or two things you can leave us with that, you know, everybody's going to go, oh, my God, Jenny's all that?
I would say the first is that we are worthy of self-care. We are worthy of putting ourselves on a schedule first. We are worthy of getting out of bed and going into a meditation room or taking a walk or doing something that allows us to be grounded, filled up, so that we can have amazing impact in our day. We are absolutely worthy. We women, we're worthy. That would be it, Michelle. We're worthy.
I think I'm inspired. I think, no, I'm telling you, Jenny, it's cool because when you talk, you have such passion in your voice and you live what you're talking about. I want all of our listeners to know. So thank you for doing exactly what you didn't know what I was going to ask because you've been an amazing leading lady. We'd love to have you back again if you've got time to hear more about some of the things you're up to and how we can be more focused on rejuvenation and again, what was that word you used? I loved it. Harmony, not balance. It's so awesome.
No,
so thank
harmony.
You for being
yeah,
our
being
leading
harmony.
Lady. Yep. It was awesome.
Thanks.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for being, you know, our loyal listeners because we're going to be back here every Monday at 9 a.m., Fridays at 2 p.m. for another Women Lead Radio show. And I'm delighted to say that on Monday, we will be back for our next radio show, and the topic is networking like a boss. I like that. Naja Hayward is going to be talking. She's a business growth strategist, and Sean Marie Turi is your host of Business is Personal, and I think it'll be a delightful show, so have a great weekend. One thing I always ask all of you to do as professional women, please go out and be supportive of one another professionally. That's how we can help move the needle forward. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.